This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Witcher Blood Origin is coming, and we are just getting started here on Post-Show Recaps. Hi, everybody. Mike Bloom here, back with yet another chapter in the ever-growing, ever complex world of The Witcher adaptation on Netflix. The world of Andrzej Sapkowski's novel brought to life on the streaming service into a brand new territory in a familiar world in a very different time as we are exploring the prequel spinoff of The Witcher, The Witcher Blood Origin, dropping all four episodes of what they declare a special event on Christmas Day 2022. One last stocking stuffer to get in before the new year expires. And so I am back to cover yet another chapter in The Witcher franchise. But of course, I'm not alone. We are covering The Witcher Blood Origin. So of course, I had to bring in the person who is part of my origin story with the series and is my blood, I suppose.
No, we're not blood.
Well, I don't know. I remorsefully, I go through a lot of
typifying
things.
Don't put that out there.
No, well, by survivor standards, we're blood.
I see. Yes, we are part of like that tribe, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, and you don't know in the process, like when the papers are signed. Listen, The Witcher is all about making promises and signing contracts and how that gets locked in, so...
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
The child surprise, you know?
Oh, okay, a child surprise.
The idea that promises are made, oaths are kept.
I know, but I feel like when you say we're blood, you're insinuating something terrible.
No. Okay, yeah. Let me just put out this blanket statement. Angela and
I are not related.
We're not related. There's no incest going on in the Bloom household. Didn't think we'd start off the podcast with that disclaimer.
Nope, but yeah, here we are.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Can you guess when we were talking about The Witcher season 2? Do you remember?
No, I can't even remember where I was today. So
all right. Well, aside from that alarming factoid, yeah, I believe it was December 20th. 2021, actually.
So it's been a year.
It's been, I mean, it's been a year. But
no,
yeah,
it's been like the worst year. So hopefully this is not like an indication about like the year to come. Hopefully we set things off on a better foot.
Yeah, we have been, it's been a while since you've heard Angela on a podcast in general, let alone talking about The Witcher.
She's been busy.
She has been busy. We, as you know, similar to many households that have young children in it, have been just ravaged with illness this entire fall season.
Just constant illnesses.
Yeah, we were hoping for Aretuza to come in and just bring us some sort of magical salve at the end of the
day.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that did not happen. But we're healthy now today, this lovely Christmas weekend.
Yes. And
happy Christmas, happy Hanukkah to all who celebrate.
How do you
happy
feel?
Happy Yule.
Happy Yule, and to you and Lul as well. How do you feel about the Christmas Day release? Because The Witcher is a very...
You know, I love it. Because I think about like a Christmas Day release, and it tends to be more of like a wholesome thing, or it's like, for me, it's always been like the Doctor Who Christmas special, or like that's something that's like very like quintessential Christmas, like nothing of this nature, and I like it.
Yeah, so you're saying like screw the cozy sweaters, and
it's like the 1 year during the Super Bowl when they had a like back-to-back marathon of Charmed, and that's what I watched. It was great.
During the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, that wasn't the halftime show, right?
No, Charmed was not the halftime show of the Super Bowl. You claim to be a football fan. How dare you?
It was the early 2000s.
It was,
you never
but
know.
It was like everyone was watching that, and I was like, I'm going to watch this Charmed.
Wow, true counterculture represented in you.
No, but I do think this will be fun because it is a little bit different than your typical Christmas Day release, and I'm into it.
Yeah, well, The Witcher is very much a winter show. You know, the second season came out December 2021. The first season came out December 2019, and I do feel like it has very wintry vibes. I don't know, maybe it's just because
you're just thinking that Geralt's hair is white, so it sounds like it's like snow.
Yeah, but I also think of like Kaer Morhen, right?
Oh, yeah,
of like
Kaer Morhen,
the snow-ridden mountains.
I would say it's like very Lord of the Rings in that it's all seasons, you know, all the time.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, season three, I believe, is being speculated to come out in the summer of 2023. It doesn't feel like a summer show to me.
Well, get on board because it's coming out.
It is coming out. And we should say, certainly we are not here just to discuss The Witcher Blood Origin, because we have one big elephant-esque monster in the room that requires a bit of catching up on in terms of our thoughts on. Of course, since the last time we have gathered talking The Witcher, it has been announced that Henry Cavill will be departing the series after season three as the titular Witcher, as Geralt of Rivia. So this will be a little bit of a catch-all of a Blood Origin preview, what you need to know, what we should expect from this four-episode miniseries, as well as given our thoughts about, you know, going into the final season of Henry Cavill and into the future that looks to be a little Australian.
I guess. I don't think he'll be putting an Australian accent on.
No, I would
like,
not.
I don't think he'll have his real accent.
No, but Liam Hemsworth is going to be the
correct,
new
yeah.
Geralt of Rivia. That's
imagine
what I was
if Geralt of Rivia was an Aussie accent.
Well, I mean, listen, a lot of people are able to keep their natural accents when it comes
I agree. I just think Geralt of Rivia has, like, he has no accent. Like, he has, like, it's, like, very, like, I just don't think the Aussie is, like, as dramatic.
I don't know. I mean, listen, as long as you're just grumbling and saying the
that's
F word.
Exactly.
You pull out
yeah,
the Geralt
that's
of Rivia
true.
Voice.
Not sure you need an accent.
But let's not put the roach before the cart, as it were. Let's talk about The Witcher Blood Origin, which again is fairly unfounded territory.
It
reminds me a lot of what they did with The Rings of Power this year on Amazon, in that, you know, Andrzej Sapkowski has made mention of course, the the conjunction of the spheres.
The conjunction of the spheres. I don't know if you guys are listening to this having listened to our previous episodes or podcasts, or you're just jumping in, but the show The Witcher is based off of 6 fantasy novels and 15 short stories written by
Andrzej Sapkowski.
I don't say it well.
Is that where I'm just supposed to fill in with my line?
And so it's very similar to how Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, you know, except that in this regard, there isn't a ton of source material, whereas in The Lord of the Rings, there is the Silmarillion and there's all this other stuff. And like Tolkien was like very much so about writing around the world prior to those things.
Right. But I would say it's similar in that they are loosely looking at things that were described, you know, via the canon, via the text, and then really springing off of that to create something new.
Yeah.
New characters, newer setting in a manner of speaking.
There was a prequel novel that he did write in 2013 called Season of Storms. I have not read that. Sorry, I like fell off the trail there. So.
The trail. You lost the scent.
So, I mean, I can't really tell you much about it other than like it does exist. I don't know how much they're pulling from that, though.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about The Witcher Blood Origin and what to expect, because Netflix has actually given away, not given
lot,
away, but has given a good amount of background as to what it's going to be about. I mean, again, it's tough for me to call it a show because it's only 4 episodes. They're billing it as sort of like a special presentation, which is interesting.
Well, and because I think that, so it's supposed to take place, you know, 12, they keep saying it, 1,200 years ago. 1,200 years ago. 1,200, it's in like every trailer. And so that's 1,200 years prior to Geralt of Rivia. And I think the timeline of the show was said to be a month. So the show creator said it's a month prior to the conjunction of the spheres happening. So it's like kind of like a count. It's like a really long episode of 24.
It's 30.
Yeah, yeah, it's 30.
Well, so let's talk about what the conjunction of the spheres are, because to your point, there might be some people that are like, I've never checked out The Witcher before. It looks a little menacing. Oh, look, there's a 4-episode miniseries with Michelle Yeoh. Let me check it
Why
out.
Why not? Because she's great.
So for the uninformed, or perhaps those that might not remember, because again, it's been a year, can you remind people what was the conjunction of the spheres?
Yeah, so in the world of The Witcher, there's a bunch of different universes in this world, and the conjunction of the spheres is this event where all of those universes came together and had an impact, and up until that point, there were no monsters in the world of The Witcher proper, in that universe, that planet, for lack of a better term, but when the spheres came together, monsters made their way through these access points or monoliths, and then, you know, it all kind of tumbles down from there, but eventually witchers were created as a way to battle these monsters, you know, but it is kind of convoluted because it's like chicken or egg at this point.
Yeah, so basically we're dealing with the multiverse, which is
we
odd
are
to
dealing
say,
with the multiverse which is- and of those multiverses, this world is elves primarily. And
is that why they're doing the Christmas release? They're like, well, people are thinking about elves anyway.
I don't think so, no.
Do you think Will Ferrell will make an appearance in this one?
No, but Minnie Driver does.
Minnie Driver does, yeah. She's very elf-like just in general.
Well, and we'll have to talk about her character, which is like a totally weird sort of separate from
the rest
of it.
Yeah, we'll talk about, definitely, I think there's a certain thing that happens at the end of the trailer that is WTF in many ways. But yeah,
well, and I can give you color into it, but it's like, we won't know.
But essentially, yeah, the conjunction of the spheres was, to go into like, you know, nerdy sci-fi lexicon, it's a nexus event. It was where there was a world of elves.
Think of it as like the Big Bang.
Yeah, a world of men, and there was a world of monsters. And in the conjunction of the spheres, these portals open. We find out in The Witcher Season 2, it's through these big monoliths. And as a result, everything started to get mixed together.
Everything started to get mixed together. And then the world that we experience in The Witcher television series 1 and series 2 is the world of the elves.
Yes.
So, you know, while there are men there and there are monsters there, they have come into this world. And we don't see the other two worlds ever.
Right, exactly. So they all came in and they essentially, as was talked about a lot specifically in season 2, kind of then conquered and appropriated the native land of the elves, specifically the men, for their good. And so, yeah, by and large, the majority of these characters in The Witcher Blood Origin are focused on the elves, as you say. So right now, we are dealing with, even before the other macro stuff, there's micro stuff happening within this world of the elves.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to like wipe the slate clean, because here we are, this is the elf world, and there are 3 elven tribes,
kingdoms. It's war. So we have, it's Prishia, it's Darwin, and it's Zintria. That last name may sound familiar to people that have watched The Witcher, because that was the previous elven land that then became what was known as Sintra in the in The Witcher proper, which is, of course, a central hub for many of our main characters.
Yeah, and so obviously, you know, the other two have gone, you know, the way of the dodo, but, you know, the Sintria one, at least the name is familiar, whether or not that's anything to do with anything. And so where we come upon our characters, which we'll get into at the start of Blood Origin, is I believe at a point when the elves have kind of gone a little too far, you know, with their civil war, basically.
Yeah, there's all the kingdoms are essentially feuding with each other.
They're like depleting the resources. There's like, you know, there's like lack of food. There's, you know, there's famine, there's disease, there's all these things. And so there's going to be, you know, a catalyst of an emperor of sorts who's gonna, you know, perhaps do some evil stuff.
Right. So we should also note, in terms of the hierarchy of these kingdoms, each kingdom is protected by a clan.
Which I hate, honestly. I hate the way that they phrase
the
this.
Clans?
No, I just hate the way it's phrased, because a clan is not, does not evoke, is not evocative of me, within me, of like an army or protectorate or something.
They're mercenaries.
Yeah, and like I feel like a clan is the same thing as like I got confused when I was reading about it, because I was like, wait, the kingdoms are the clans? Or no?
No, these are individual groups that are.
The clans are separate from the kingdoms. They're like think kingdom macro, clan micro.
Yeah, and then the clans are sort of like the bodyguards. They're the protectorates of specifically the rulers of the kingdoms.
They're legit.
There's the dog clan, there's the serpent clan, and the raven clan.
And then there is also the ghost clan.
Yeah, there was like this ghost tribe,
which is what we are to be understood is like no longer a thing.
Hence the name. Yeah. So the reason why we bring this up is because, as we segue into our characters, the majority of them come from these clans, are sort of like outcasted from being protectors of these feuding rulers, which will then send them off on their own independent adventures.
Right. So, you know, we have, I guess we could dive right into the characters, because I feel like that's going to be a good place to kick off.
Because we mainly have, I would say right now, we know the most about the main three.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, you know, can mention about our spare mini driver appearances. But there are three that have been highlighted on the Witcher on Netflix YouTube channel that I think, mm-hmm. I'm imagining we're going to spend the most amount of time.
Well, we know the most about them. I mean, there's a few other ones. There's, you know, there's clearly some, you know, blonde chick. We don't really get to know about her, but like she's the one that's telling the prophecy and all that.
We have a dwarf as well.
We
that
have
looks
a dwarf.
Very fun.
I mean, she's her. First of all, her accent is amazing.
Because what they allude to in the trailer is that there's going to be like this ragtag group of seven. That is going
mm-hmm. to help. It's very much so like the Fellowship of the Ring.
Completely, like very much, you know, take down the big bad. So we only know about half of them, really, their story, but let's go through them. So we start with, I believe it's Ayla, I think Ayla is how they pronounce her name.
Yeah, when I read it, I thought it was Ellie, but it's clearly not. It's like Ayla. So she's a warrior of the Queen's Guard.
Yeah, she's a former member of the Raven Clan.
Of the Raven Clan.
She was a child soldier who then essentially got sort of like fell out of it and is now traveling as a bard. Her nickname is the Lark.
Yeah, so like, we talk about these warriors, these guards or whatever. So she was brought up as a warrior to protect a queen in her clan mm-hmm. of one of the realms. I can't remember which one is Taijin.
Yeah, I don't know which one is rich.
Yeah, I think in the map they're colored, which is nice, that it's like red, gray, and like yellow or something mm-hmm. like that, but I can't remember. So yeah, that's her. She looks great. She's played by Sophia Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Seems really badass, but also sounds beautiful when she sings.
Yeah, so she's like if Jaskier, you know, was able to hit back in a manner of speaking.
And and I think she's also quite famous as the Lark, because throughout the trailer, people are like, oh, you're the Lark. You're the Lark.
But she's trying to, I think, disavow that name.
I don't think she wants to be that anymore.
But it's interesting because she, you know, Sophia Brown talks about her sort of using music as a way to cope through the amount of violence that she has gone through. But she is a bit, again, of a ragamuffin, again, a bit of like an outcast, an independent sort. And she is going to come into contact with Fiol, who is played by Laurence O'Furin, I believe is how you pronounce his name, who is also an outcast of the Dog Clan.
Sworn to protect a king.
Yes, and it appears through some sort of character introduction that, like,
he was banished.
Yeah, he breaks his oath or something happens, and as you talked about, he's banished from the Dog Clan, and he very much is sort of wandering about without a purpose. And so these two are going to become unlikely bedfellows, both metaphorically, maybe literally. Who the hell knows?
No, you get some romance vibes between them in the trailers, for sure.
Yeah, so it's
very romance.
Very romance, speaking of Australia. So yeah, we sort of have, again, like the softer, more artistic one, and then the sort of more hard-headed, you know, Lawrence talks about in a video on Netflix about how, like, he had weakness and emotion beaten mm-hmm. out of him. So I think we're getting more of that season one Geralt emotionless. So that should make a good pair. But running out this trio is a lovely woman by the name of,
thank God,
of Skian. Skian is, as you mentioned, the last of the ghost tribe. She's a hermit who was once the sword mother of Ayla. And so essentially they're going to come to her essentially to recruit her and her sword skills to help her do whatever they're doing.
She's the last member of this nomadic tribe, which they were specifically sword elves. So I guess like they were the people who like learned sword and taught sword and all that sort of stuff. So, but yes, there was a blade stolen from her tribe. And so,
yeah. And so they're using that as an incentive, right? Like, oh, come help us with this thing so you could get back your stolen blade.
But she's also like very tied into how are we saying her name?
I think it's Ayla.
Ayla.
Ayla, but it's Michelle Yeoh. Like, is that not just
yes.
the
proof
of purchase right there?
And she's got these amazing facial tattoos. And so it's evocative of this very like, culturally significant something or other. Like, we don't know about the ghost tribe. We're not sure what their deal is, but we want to know. So, yeah, love her.
I mean, how could you not? And she truly has been
the trailer's
everywhere all at once. Yeah, between like she's
hot dog fingers.
But yeah, well, hopefully those won't show up there. Between, you know, like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and her appearance in the Bond films. So obviously, like more recently, Star Trek Discovery, Shang-Chi. Of course, Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I'm happy that we've just found her in a fantasy thing.
Well, and I think that she's also, you know, very skilled physically as well. I mean, a lot of what they show in the trailer is her sword play, and it's all just very beautiful. So yeah. I think that will be nice to visually see as well.
That's my thing, is that Michelle Yeoh is...
She paints a pretty picture.
And she's freaking awesome at kicking butt. And yeah. So I'm always glad when they put her in property where she is able to kick butt and don't just like put her behind a chair. Listen, we love Crazy Rich Asians, but like, we come to see Michelle Yeoh fight.
I do love her in that, though.
So I'm excited to see that. And then, of course, you know, we'll mention this here. Skip ahead about like a minute and a half, if mm-hmm. you do not want to know perhaps a bit of a spoiler that ties into The Witcher proper right now, just because we're going to mention something that was shown in the trailer that definitely blew my mind.
Yeah, I had to do a deep dive into this one. So out of nowhere pops Minnie Driver, and I'm like, oh, cool, that's fun. And then out of nowhere pops Yaskier.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait.
Yeah, she pops up at the end of this trailer as she tells him, like, oh, I need your help to, quote, sing a song back to life.
Mm-hmm. And so the character of her name is...
Is it like
It's spelled Shan-Chai. Like, it's actually the name like Sean and then Chai Tea. So it's like Shan-Chai, but a shape-shifting collector of lore. And she has the abilities to travel between time and worlds. So in other
words, good for her.
Yeah, she's like she's like a narrator of sorts for us, like a guide. And so, you know, where the Witcher is coming from and the whole world thing and all of that, like maybe she's going to help us understand that a little bit, like where the origin is coming from. So I don't know what and when this will happen within the show.
Do you think this might be like a framing device of her being like, settle in, I will tell you the story?
Which, if it is, I'm not going to be super into, because one of the things this is a hot take, but one of the things I loved about Witcher season one was how much they didn't explain anything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like very into how the timeline stuff kind of happened. So I don't know. She is a character, so it's not like she's just a voiceover, but...
But it does seem like from her perspective, if she is truly like omnipotent, she might be this like, I'm going to stand back and watch and not interfere with everything that's happening.
I will say, though, that like Minnie Driver looks stunning as an elf.
As she always does.
But specifically as an elf, like I feel like she could be like a very much a Lord of the Rings character the way she looks. So I'm happy that she does have that vibe and she can like partake of that vibe. But
yeah, and maybe this is just like throwing that bait right to people that are like, well, I miss Geralt, I miss Ciri. It's like, well, here's your Yaskier. There you go. He's going to show up. Maybe he will really show up at the very end. But it was still really interesting. It seems like the plot itself seems focused on, like you said, for whatever reason, whether it is due to like the actions of these mm-hmm. rulers or just complete coincidence, like the monoliths are showing up, the spheres are indeed, you know, crossing over, and we see monsters show right. up. And what I would imagine, given the title of the series, is that this is going to focus on this group being behind creating the first, not Witcher, but like an ancestor of them.
Right, because the idea is that there's this big bad, that's a big bad elf guy mm. who's going to come
BBE.
About. BBE. And he's going to come about and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be the one that's, okay, you have all these warring tribes or whatever. I'm going to be your emperor now, like bow down to me, you know, which happens, I think, in a lot of stories. It's like too much strife and somebody's going to dictatorship the whole thing to hell.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but with that, I think comes him creating or, you know, dealing with monsters. And so then the seven, I think, are going to find themselves in a position of, okay, do we fight fire with fire? Do we also create a monster hybrid, whatever? Do we also like put monster in ourselves so that we can be powerful as well? And, you know, I think that that's going to be the question
yeah.
that we'll see, which is what the Witchers do. I mean, the Witcher, it's going to be very different, obviously, than what we see happen in, what was that one, that cartoon one we watched?
Oh, it was like, what was it?
Something of the Wolf. Yeah, the anime of the origins of the Witcher of Geralt specifically. But I think that in that we see like how a Witcher is made proper. We're going to see sort of like the prototype of that.
Yeah, which is interesting because, again, I think it's a fun way to sort of like backfill exposition without necessarily needing to make this feel like it's essential reading in a yeah. manner of speaking. Like, I would imagine if you're busy during the holidays and you miss this, that like when season 3 comes around,
you'll be fine.
You won't miss a step. But it's a nice way to sort of like fill in the extra credit for us very studious students, in a manner of speaking.
Studious students.
Yeah, and be able to say, oh yeah, we can check this out, learn a bit more about the history of the continent. Perhaps then, you know, giving a sense as to what the elven culture was like specifically might inform the way we look at some of our elven characters moving forward, because they became a much larger part of season 2
they
in particular.
Did. Well, and in season 1 and in season 2, we see them as like the like despot, like forgotten people who yep. are totally like prejudiced against, and you know, people are racist towards elves, and like clearly in this it's all elves.
Yeah.
Like there are no men, there are no monsters. Like the elves are, that's, there's like levels and casp in there, but they're not, you know, thought of as like a lower segment of human, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but I'm intrigued to see, obviously, though, even if, you know, it's the whole Sneetches story from Dr. Seuss, right? Of like, no matter what, even if you still all look the same, there's still going to be opportunity to create that discrimination. And that's where the kingdoms come in. So what's interesting is like this is a hefty amount of lore, as we talked about. I'll be intrigued to see how much we get out of it in like the first episode, you know, because it's only 4 episodes. Is this a huge lore dump a la Lord of the Rings? Is this something that gets parsed out through the 4 episodes, and if so, do we feel like that's appropriate? 4 episodes is not very long.
No, it's not very long, and I did read somewhere that they were saying like it is complete. Like it's not like there's not going to be like a huge cliffhanger, like saying, okay, here comes Blood Origin season 2. Like that's not what they're trying to do. They did leave it open that they could,
mm-hmm.
but that's not the point. So hopefully we don't have any issues like where it is sort of like threads are left open too much.
Yeah, but I'm intrigued. I mean, it's been a while, again, since we've really delved back into the continent yeah. and, you know, I think it's a nice aperitif, perhaps, to what we're going to get into in The Witcher Season 3. No matter what its quality, just like a stopover of, yeah, here's a reminder of what the tone is. It seems very clear from the marketing and promotional materials that still, you know, same amount of violence, same amount of gore, same amount of
yeah.
curse words involved in it, which is
yeah,
like good old Witcher stuff that we love.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else we want to preview about Blood Origin? I would say that's pretty much all we know, but again, it's a fair amount.
Yeah, I think we know a decent amount. I think there are a lot of characters we haven't met yet, which I'm fine with. I think that'll be fun to like discover them. So, yeah.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, Angela, let's get into the big piece of Witcher news.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes, and it was a bit of a bum, bum, bummer as we found this out over the past couple of months. It was officially announced. Hey, fans, good news, bad news. Good news, we're officially moving forward with season four.
Yeah.
Bad news, we're moving forward without one particular Geralt for season four. Netflix and Henry Cavill announced in the fall of 2022 that season three would be his final season as Geralt of Rivia on The Witcher. It's been a tumultuous couple months for Henry Cavill.
Well, yeah, because when this first happened, he was announcing it because he was going to be moving back towards doing Superman.
Right, because people knew that he had shown up in the post-credit scene for Black Adam, and so it had been implied that he was going to return to Superman. I think he had assumed that he was going to return to Superman.
And he was
going
to focus on that, and so he stepped down from The Witcher. I mean, maybe there were some other reasons. But
right, so that's the other thing as well, is that either coincidentally or not, there was a corresponding scoop that had come out a couple of weeks or maybe even days before the news that allegedly the writers on The Witcher were not that devoted or maybe even interested in the source material. According to some reports, writers just like not openly mocked it, but were clearly not really going to the word and letter of the law necessarily to make the stuff that they want to. Again, if you watch the first two seasons, you know, especially the second season, you know that is very much the case. And Henry Cavill, we talk so many times about, like, the reason why he signed up to do this is that, you know, he's a huge nerd. He loved the games. It got him into the books. And now he knows it for basically every letter that is on the page.
Yeah.
And so,
which is great. Like, I love somebody who likes the source material. I love somebody who's passionate about it. But there were also some other things that happened or came out that I don't love.
Yeah.
Some claims of misogyny in the workplace.
Yeah.
Specifically by Henry Cavill towards women showrunners and writers.
Because there is a woman who is the showrunner for The Witcher.
Right. So him coming and saying, like, you know, going over her head and not giving the respect that's owed to that person became really impossible for him women to work with him,
right?
Basically.
So it really did feel like a bit of an impasse where perhaps, you know, it's a bit of a snake eating its own tail, but I would imagine between, like, Henry Cavill feeling like people do not respect the source material the way he does.
And so he tried to overrule her and get changes
and
made last minute and go
and then
over
others
her
feeling
head.
Disrespected by the fact that he feels like he knows better than them about
Correct.
How to make the show.
But it's totally fucked up because you can't, if she's the showrunner, like, you really need to follow the proper channels. You can't just, like, go over somebody's head just because, you know, and whether or not this is because she's a woman, who the hell knows, like, we weren't there, but I don't love.
No.
A man thinking that they can just do whatever the fuck they want because they read a book and played a video game.
Very valid in many ways.
She has a job to do. She's show running.
Yeah.
You have a job to do as an actor. Bring you whatever you want to bring to the table, but respect.
Regardless.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. My vagina.
I did not listen to that version of Aretha's song, but now I'm going to buy that LP.
But yeah, so I mean, who, again, this is all, like, it is all fairly gossipy. Like, there's nothing, and I love Henry Cavill. I think that he's a great person, and I doubt that, from what I've heard, like, he is a genuinely good, nice human being, but does have a tendency to get very passionate, and I can relate to somebody who sets their mind to something and won't stop until they get it done, she says lovingly.
Yes.
While looking at her husband.
Yes.
Hint, hint. That's a flaw I have, so I can understand where that's coming from. But, you know, when you're in the public eye, you can't do that.
Right. And it's, you know, sad news, though, because I do feel like, and I don't know if this is completely hyperbolic, but, like, Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia was one of those perfect casting choices for me of, like, any property.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's going to be tricky.
Because he was just so good. And the amount, I think, that he was able to deepen Geralt and the writers were in the second season was very much appreciated. He really was that part in so many ways. So it is just so tragic on both ends.
Well, because he's obsessed.
Right. So it's really tragic on both ends that it just ended up working out the way
that
it did.
Well, and there was a lot of talk of, and this is something that I think you would be more familiar with than I would, but the video game bro culture and video game, like, the way that people talk within video games, about video games, like, it can be very, crazy masculine.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Bro.
Oh, yes.
And I think that, like, you can, you know, when you're obsessed with video games, you probably are absorbing a lot of that, but you can't bring that to the workplace. It's not like you would, like, play Halo and, like, be an asshole on your game and then you would go to work the next day and talk that way to your coworker. No. But it's hard when your, like, job is portraying a video game character. So I don't know.
Yeah. So that being said, there is still one more season of Henry Cavill as
and I'm still pumped. I still like
him.
Yeah.
And it seems like, you know, they're still on track. It's, you know, perhaps to dispute some of the claims about the verisimilitude, the showrunner is going forward to say, like, season three is the most faithful to the books yet. So I'm intrigued. But to the point that you made, just with all the whispering is going on behind the scenes, things seem a bit messier behind the curtain than maybe we initially expected. Though maybe that's just Hollywood in particular. But as we alluded to before, it was also announced his replacement, the next one to inherit the throne of The Witcher, is none other than Liam Hemsworth, Gale, whatever his last name was from The Hunger Games.
I don't remember his last name.
I remember Peter Mullark, but I don't remember Gale's last name.
Gale Hemsworth.
Yeah, might as well just throw him in there with everybody. Are you do you have any opinions at all, good or bad, about Liam Hemsworth?
I like Liam Hemsworth. No, I think it'll be good. I mean, I think it'll be different, but I actually don't see a huge problem with it. It just depends on how they go about it. So, you know, at the end of season three, and if it's a send off for Geralt, and so is this going to be a new universe?
Right,
is this,
like, are they going to go Doctor Who and just be right, like, always regenerating, or are they just going to, like, completely ignore it?
Which is fine. If they do that, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. I'll go along with it. But I'm just curious how they're going to handle it. I don't necessarily have a problem with Liam's Hemsworth's being Geralt of Rivia. I think he can pull it off. It's just, you know, you have the right makeup, you have the right, you know, the right costume. Like, he's a good enough actor. I think he could do it.
Yeah, I think he'd be able to pull it off. I'm always for like giving new actors in a new role a chance, but I'd be intrigued considering that again.
Not bad to look at, so like whatever.
Yeah, I mean, listen, from aesthetic purposes, that's always true. I'm just intrigued since we know this information ahead of time, right? Like, yeah, will this be a send off to Henry Cavill, or is it just going to be like we get the 8 episodes and then it'll start? You know,
well, there was an I was reading up today in prep for this. There was an article that came out like a day ago about like how the end of season 3 ended up being a big send off and a good send off.
Okay,
but it wasn't planned that way, so I don't think we're gonna see like stuff happening throughout season 3 that is.
Yeah, it's not gonna be Geralt being like, oh no, I accidentally drank the shapeshifter potion.
Right, exactly.
Now I'm shifting
it'll
into another person.
It'll just be like a send-off that was already part of it. It just happens to like tie in.
Yeah, one of those things where it's a season finale that feels like a series finale and just happens to be one.
Yeah, for him it is.
For him it is.
Lights out, baby.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big, big piece of news. Obviously, you know, a lot of fondness for Henry Cavill. And, of course, a lot of, you know, mixed emotions, given what you were talking about with the allegations. So,
yeah, it's tough to grapple with.
And it's tough to approach all this stuff with nuance. But I am happy that the show is moving forward in whatever form it may be. It won't be long before we get it as well, you know, but half a year, basically, until we get to meet up with Yennefer.
When does it come out?
So they haven't explicitly said it yet, but they pretty much have said like mid-2023, I think is what they officially said.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because I think they have it in the can and everything. I think it was just a matter of like...
In the cans.
What? That's a...
I know, it just sounds dumb.
But they had, you know, Blood Origin just waiting. So I think it was just a matter of like timing everything out. Maybe there was some post-production stuff that they still have to complete on season 3 of The Witcher. So this is, again, like a little bit of a taste in Blood Origin that we get before the big course in season 3 of The Witcher.
Nom, nom, nom.
Exactly. So just to set up what our coverage is going to be, again, it's a little bit of a weird thing because it's a 4-episode event.
Yeah, that we're not going to be doing like a ton of coverage.
No, it takes place and, you know, it drops on Christmas. I think what's going to be easiest is that it'll drop on Christmas. Angela and I are going to watch all 4 episodes in the speed that we can, which, considering the person I'm talking with is going to be alarmingly fast.
It's already done.
And once we watch all 4 episodes, we'll get together and do a wrap-up. I think it's that simple, both because we don't know whether this will warrant episodic coverage.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm too busy for episodic coverage.
She's booked and blessed.
I'm booked and blessed.
So yeah, so we'll do like a one big wrap up, and we'll also see as well. Like something tells me this is probably meant to be watched almost as like one big
like a movie,
4-hour movie. So we'll see. Speaking of other, movies that Henry Cavill was a part of that were 4-hour movies.
What was that? Oh,
that
the
was
Justice
League. Yeah,
the cut,
the Snyder cut. Exactly.
Can't say I've seen any of that.
Well, there's not an opportunity for that in the future, unfortunately, from the new perspective. But he landed on his feet. He's in Warhammer now. That was the other big announcement to end the year. And Henry Cavill, I remember watching The Witcher season 2, like behind the scenes post-show thing, and Henry Cavill talked about like him and Joey Beatty bonding over him painting Warhammer figures. So like he found his way into another nerdy, passionate project. Don't worry, he'll be fine.
Yeah, as long as he treads a little bit more carefully, I am on board.
All right. Well, we'll be back in, probably a week and a half to talk through a big overview perspective of The Witcher Blood Origin. We'll get into everything that happened, but just give our general thoughts, maybe some thoughts about specific characters, moments, etc. And then before you know it, you know, you'll have your head hit the pillow, and then it'll be time to wake back up, fight some more monsters for The Witcher Season 3. It's finally back in our lives.
Hooray!
So you can, of course, follow us on social media. Angela is at Angepelagi, posting all the stories on Instagram that our son accidentally posts there when he's experimenting with the Instagram filters.
Yeah, sorry for anyone that follows me and just got pictures of Asher's forehead today.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there could be worse foreheads to look at.
Have a cute forehead.
You can follow me at @MikeBloomType. Of course, I am busy, working hard on the best of 2022.
Working hard or hardly working, am I right?
You are wrong, I suppose, because I am working hard. At least I think I am.
You are.
with the Best of 2022 series, talking about a bunch of things over on post-show recaps, including my final Best of 2022 podcast is going to be about Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. I know we had promised we were going to do a feedback show. That didn't happen.
I'm sorry. It's my fault.
No, it was just various extenuating circumstances. Angela, just for the nerds in the audience, do you want to give just a quick review, your opinion about Rings of Power?
I liked it.
Not loved?
No, I loved it. I if it's Lord of the Rings, I love it.
That's true.
Yeah, that's all I got right now, Bloom. You can't shoot that stuff at me.
Listen, I think it's good for the soundbite. I'll put it on the poster for Lord of the Rings.
Loved it.
I liked it, Angela Bloom. So all that's going on. I've also been wrapping up Survivor and the Amazing Race over on Rob Has a Podcast. But if you're into fantasy stuff, be sure to check out everything that's coming out with The Witcher. I also know His Dark Materials is currently
yes.
on their third season. I know Rich and Melissa are covering that as well. So plenty of stuff to check out in the fantasy sphere and the conjunctions therein. And we will be talking about said conjunction next time on this podcast, as Angela and I will be back in just a bit of time to give our overall thoughts and wrap up The Witcher Blood Origin. Happy holidays to everybody. I hope you enjoy The Witcher Blood Origin as well. We'll certainly have some thoughts when we convene next time. Until then, take care. Bye-bye. When you listen fast to all our podcasts, an impressive feat since our network is vast. There's actually much more behind an online door. Become a patron and enjoyment will soar. So many different perks, a Discord to lurk, get early releases and maybe some merch. Podcast exclusively, like Extra and YA. It's but tons of content to fill out your day. Toss a coin to Patreon, support post-show recaps, support post-show recaps, oh. Toss a coin to Patreon, come join our community.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.